Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mars.
Welcome to the Masters of Modern Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman, and our guest, Michael Grothy.
What's up, everybody? We're here. This is live. You're seeing us live. It's a live stream. We're streaming live.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about today. First on, there was a Pro Tour this last weekend. It was a modern-ish Pro Tour. There were three formats. One player was playing Standard on a team, one was playing Legacy, and one was playing Modern. We're going to focus on Modern because a lot of stuff happened there. It was won by a Hollowed One.
Hollow One. Yes, it was won by Hollow One as part of the team GP or Pro Tour. So yeah, we had a bunch of Legacy and Standard decks running around in the format. I have to say, first reactions. Did you guys watch any of this or no? I guess we were all at Gen Con.
We were all at Gen Con.
I watched a little bit. I read more coverage than I watched coverage.
Same. Yeah, it was easier to read than it was to watch it when we were at Gen Con.
I watched back the four matches, that the finals and each of the semis. There wasn't enough Modern coverage. It was really annoying. I'd watch one game of Modern, I felt like, every match. Maybe two, if I was lucky. But, like, I never got to see, like, the exciting, like, the five games.
It wasn't a Modern Pro Tour. It was a team Pro Tour, and they want to focus on all three formats. I get why we didn't see a ton of it. That's why, like,
these are also
the coverage was more interesting than maybe even watching it for this Pro Tour for me, because
I mean, the top four in particular was, like, all known quantities. Like, you know, people have seen Hollow One versus KCI, people have seen Humans versus Hollow One, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if something interesting, like Vengevine, had broken into the semis, then we would have seen that, but
so we are going to talk fully about the show and then get all into the details. But coming up today on the show, we have a bunch of really fun stuff. So Michael, congratulations to him. He actually qualified for one of the beta drafts at Gen Con and drafted beta on Sunday. So let's give a hand to Michael. Alex? Yep.
I've given him a lot of hate. Yeah. Every day we're just like,
giving him
so how's it feel? He like won at Gen Con. He won the very first qualifier he was in. So we had all 5 days leading up to it.
Yes.
To jokingly rip him and congratulate him at the same time.
And cajole and make fun of me for not qualifying. These are his beta cards. We'll get there later, so stay tuned for that in the second half of the show. We're going to talk about the Pro Tour, and we are introducing a brand new pack opening segment today that we will get to in just a minute. So before we get fully into the show, I want to remind everybody here, you can find us on Twitter at the MMCast. You can find me personally at Ben Bateman Media. At Duddard?
Yeah, D-U-D-A-R-D-D. Alex made me hatch from my Twitter egg and put up an actual profile.
It's Mechabot. It's one of the battle bosses.
Yeah, it's one of the battle bosses. And I put a little description of who I am.
It's been a little confusing because the icon we had for the Battle Bosses account until that moment was Mechabot.
Which I didn't know. I just picked my favorite boss and put him up there.
It's fine.
And you can find this clown over here at Kes Wiley.
Yeah, I'm at Kes Wiley. Sorry, I'm posting the live stream onto all of the different social media services so that you guys can find it while we're doing it. Get hyped. And
hype,
I have one
hype,
more thing.
Hype.
So the very first thing we're going to do today is a pack opening.
Well,
I guess first we have one more shout out. Battle Boss is a game. It's over here. You can see the box. These are new characters we previewed at Gen Con. This is Captain Boat. He's a boat. He looks like a boat. But he's got a face. He's half captain, half boat. And this is Doc Explosion. She's a mad scientist harassing people in Futropolis. You can go to the Kickstarter on Tuesday. So it's live on Tuesday.
August 14th.
Please check it out. August 14th.
We had an amazing Gen Con. We got to playtest this game with a billion people. A lot of people. A lot of listeners of the show came by. It was super, super fun. So, check it out. August 14th.
It's definitely we just had demos of the game going continuously from when the hall opened at 10 a.m. until it was closed at 6. Just like, we didn't have a single break. It was just continuous people wanting to play the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we are bringing you a brand new segment today. This is the pack grimoire. We have filled this grimoire with all the packs.
All of the packs. So inside is a selection of more standard packs. There's some Amaket in there.
There's some sweet packs in here. We've got
Kaladesh in there, but then there's
all
also
three editions
like
of Modern Masters. We've got Eternal Masters. We've got Mirrodin. We've got Darksteel. We've got Fifth Dawn. We've got New Phyrexia in there.
Yeah. Amaket, so there's some really sweet, spicy stuff, and there's some recent stuff. So we're going to pick packs at random.
So there are exactly 95 packs in here.
Okay.
So we need to randomize this somehow.
Number 8.
Okay, you are going to be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Alex will be opening this pack of... Amaket.
Okay, and then it's going to be...
There's some modern playables in there.
77. Yeah, this is a cool new set we're doing. We're going to each open a pack, we're going to pack war them, and then we're going to get to... The winner gets to open an additional pack that'll come out at random. So that'll be super fun and exciting, and hopefully you guys enjoy these new segments. The other thing we're going to be talking about is the Pro Tour, and that Vengevine is a deck now. Get hyped. Get so hyped. Some one hasty plant boy.
Are you a fan
Masters
of Vengevine?
Modern Masters 3.
Oh, damn. Okay.
I get to open a Modern Masters. All right,
so we're pack warring these. So the way pack wars work is whoever has the largest one, largest converted mana cost in the pack, gets to keep all of the pool.
Yeah, and this is brought to you by WizardryFoundry.com. This is a grimoire made by Wizardry Foundry. It's one of the original grimoires. It holds tons of cards. They have codexes, grimoires, all kinds of awesome
stuff.
Great
cubes.
My show, 10 Minutes of Modern, is actually sponsored by them, so cool. I talk about them often.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Okay. Oh, you already opened it. Wow. Still left behind. I think I have a good chance here, though, because I don't know how good your converted mana cost is.
Is Amonkhet converted mana cost any good?
I don't know.
Okay, I got four.
Like delve or...
I got a three. I got a four. I got a three.
All right, I got one. I got my big one right here.
Two.
Get ready.
One. I got a five.
Mine is cycling two. Enchant permanent. You control enchant permanent. I got a lay claim for seven.
Wait.
Can you beat that? Can you beat seven drop?
I got a Niv-Mizzet Draco Genius for six.
I still win.
You still win. And a foil Thunder's Wrath.
And that foil Thunder's Wrath.
What's your rare, Alex?
My rare? I didn't even look. It was Channeling Initiate.
All right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Semi-hate-bit, like, mana dork.
Yeah.
Fair.
Thank you for that pack, Ben.
Niv-Mizzet Draco Genius is all yours.
All right.
Foil Thunderous Wrath.
Foil Thunderous Wrath.
Not nothing.
Yeah.
Not nothing.
Alex,
it's a little bit nothing.
Alex pay for all the packs if he gets it.
All right, so Modern Pro Tour. You know, as we've done in previous Pro Tours that involve Modern, we have kind of a metagame discussion where we now want to talk, now that the Pro Tour has happened, what's Tier 0, what's Tier 1, what's Tier 1.5, and then everything beyond that that you can play Modern is Tier 1.2 and beyond.
Worst way to play Pac-Core ever.
Intro Battle Boss Kickstarter and YouTube plus Facebook Survivor, we did that already. Cool. What's Tier 0, guys? I think it's pretty obvious.
I mean, I think Tier 0 is Humans. That's like probably the top deck. I think you have to say KCI is also Tier 0. It won 2 Grand Prix recently and just made the finals of a Pro Tour.
Like, yeah, but it's metagame, like...
It's not metagame dependent. It's just showing up in every top 8. It's like...
Yeah, but like for me, Tier 0 is like the deck you're most likely to face twice in a GP. And
okay.
and still is top 8, because like Humans has also showed up in every top 8 since it has existed. So like, and in multiples.
I mean,
so,
how many decks are allowed to be Tier 0, I guess, is the question. Oh, there is one deck?
One deck. And then Tier 1 is everyone
else. I mean, 50% of the top 4 at this Pro Tour was Humans. And the lists were literally, other than sideboard, different by a single card. It was a single copy of Reflector Mage in the sideboard, or not Reflector Mage, of... no, it was Reflector Mage. Yeah, a single copy of Reflector Mage in the sideboard replaced by one copy of Restoration Angel in one of the lists.
Okay.
And the other one had 4 Reflector Mages. That's it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they were in a literal identical.
And I'm guessing that Restoration Angel generally copied a Reflector Mage trigger anyway.
Probably, yeah.
I've done that before. It's great. It's really good feeling.
Sideboards were off by maybe 4 or 5 cards, but I mean, the lists are very identical. So at this point, it does feel like the lowest common denominator right now is Humans. I think that has to be the Tier 0 deck.
Yeah.
I think there are a few arguments for sort of...
It was also the most played...
that's more
modern deck.
It's like
not only is it
the best performing deck, it is the number one played deck.
Yeah, so and like you also, you know, something like KCI is like a little bit more difficult to play, and people aren't going to be as confident taking it to a GP, say. Whereas at the Pro Tour, you don't run into that restriction as much because these guys are testing a lot. But if somebody's just like, you know, gonna pick up a modern deck, to borrow a modern deck from their buddy and play in a GP, they're much more likely to borrow Humans because it's a little bit more straightforward.
I also think between the two decks, like, one is a safer deck to buy into. Like, if you were worried about a card getting banned from your deck, KCI is a deck you should be worried about, because it is a play style that Wizards doesn't necessarily want to exist, kind of like Eggs or other decks like it, or Storm, versus Humans, which is just like, even if they banned a card out of Humans, I don't know if there's a single card that you could ban to just kill the deck, really, other than like...
No,
it's all like a bunch of random 2-drops that happen to do well.
The list of cards in Humans that would get banned if you were going to try to kill the deck, it would be probably the most likely banning is one of the 5-color lands.
Which I think we discussed this before, and Ancient Ziggurat is the most likely of those because it's the least damaging to every other tribal deck in the format.
Yeah. So I think Ziggurat is one. On the other hand, if you were to ban, like, I could see them being like, you know what, let's actually just just ban Unclaimed Territory. Let's just reduce it, because then Ancient Ziggurat can't cast Aether Vial. So it ends up, you end up with a deck that's like, you have to replace this five color land with like something else.
But how do you ban Unclaimed Territory and not Cavern Souls?
Well, I think Cavern enables a lot of other interesting tribal decks that they like in the format, like Merfolk and Elves and stuff like that that are playing the Caverns.
Right.
You're not supposed to be playing it for five color decks necessarily, even though it does tap for any color. But I mean, that's a it gives your tribal fair decks an edge over some of the like counterspell decks.
We've also talked about the fact that, you know, we've talked about the fact that banning one of the lands wouldn't really kill the deck, because like in reality, how much worse
well,
of a
we don't
deck...
want I don't think they want the deck to die. I think they just want it to be slightly worse, and then forcing them to play fetch lands isn't the worst way to do that.
No, they wouldn't do that. If they banned one of five color lands, they would play Mana Confluence. And then how much worse is your deck if on average you're probably losing 2.5 life per game? Like maybe
is that actually the average? I feel like the average would be higher than that. I guess everything in the deck is a two drop for the most part. So
yeah,
after turn three, you don't tap it ever again.
I think based on the fact that like Modern is a pretty proactive format right now, other than like blue white being very popular, which I will get to, but you know, it's pretty aggressive with like decks like Hollow One, and the Humans deck is very aggressive, and decks like the Vengevine deck are very aggressive, and I think paying that life is really gonna hurt you. In the like metagame as it stands right now,
so, I mean, even maybe
just
that would be the case.
Even just two or three life,
they could also ban two of them. They could get rid of Ancient Ziggurat and Unclaimed Territory.
I don't think they're going to ban necessarily anything of Humans yet. I think they like the playstyle. I think KCI is more in danger of having something like Ancient Stirrings or KCI itself banned, because they want that deck. That deck's playstyle is more toxic towards an environment. In general, Humans is just a aggro deck that's like an aggro tempo deck.
Like, well, like, you know, the reason that they don't like things like KCI is because you can't really interact with them because,
right.
You know, it doesn't have any creatures you can kill. Mm-hmm. Thoughtseize isn't that good against it unless you happen to hit their KCI and they'll just get it back.
Right.
But, like, you know, Humans is a deck that's also stopping you from interacting with what they're doing. I mean, not to the same degree. There's creatures that you can kill with a variety of different removal spells, but
sure.
Because they have Thalia, Kitesail Freebooter, Meddling Mage, Reflector Mage, that whole package is just designed to stop you from being able to answer they're doing.
Which, if I had to pick a card outside of the land and mana base that they would ban, I think it's Reflector Mage.
That's so funny. I was thinking, like, what was the... And they banned it out of Standard, so, like...
There's precedent. It's like, if you want to look at it from a lawyery perspective, like, they've done it before. It's a card that is pretty powerful, so they might be like, oh, we already have established this is a card you should ban, and like everything else in the list, banning it feels dumb.
Meddling Mage, that'd be the one. It would be.
Well, Reflector Mage is what's fighting against like fair creature decks like Collected Company and Jund and Abzan, and you know.
Meddling Mage just makes KCI
tokens,
better, and it makes Storm better.
Like the Mardu tokens deck, like. Reflector Mage is what's preventing those decks from beating Humans, because normally just having like a bunch of blockers to block their smaller guys is going to be effective.
Right.
And then the control decks and combo decks, you know, that's where Meddling Mage, Thalia, Kitesail Freebooter are doing all the work. And so that's Humans is able to attack both of those angles very effectively using their Reflector Mages. And it's also very good against the Vengevine deck, because you can like put, you know, Vengevines in their hand, which is strong.
So
maybe it's not that strong. I don't know.
Since Asbury Collins, nothing from Humans will be banned.
I think you're probably right.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think if we were going to establish right now what is the hot, warm, cool tier of bannings, I think the hot tier right now is Ancient Stirrings. I think it's in a class of its own. I think that
yeah.
one
Mox
part,
Opal is always
I think that's,
at least
I think warm.
Mox Opal just lives in that warm,
yeah.
warm
yeah.
life.
It's yeah.
warm.
It's a warm card.
Yep.
And then I would say, I don't think they're going to ban the card, KCI. I think they would ban Opal first and just try to weaken and slow down the deck.
I think they'd ban Ancient Stirrings before any of those.
Yeah,
like, I just think it's like...
I mean, there's a little bit of precedent for banning KCI because, like, you know, when there's a combo deck that they really want to put their foot down on, they just ban Second Sunrise, for example.
Right.
Yeah, but they ban Second Sunrise, but then they ban Summerbloom. And so there's another card that
that's
true. So you can make the deck work still. So, like, they don't ban Amulet, they ban Summerbloom. So I think if you were going to try to make KCI a deck that you could play, because I think it's an interesting deck. It's a cool deck. Right. I like the interactions. It's a lot cooler than Eggs to me. Like, you're having to...
It's also quicker than Eggs. One of the issues Eggs had was that it would die... you would have 20-minute... turns during turns.
Yeah, right.
And you might not even win at the end of your turn.
Right. So, like, it was more of a, like, the big... Killing Eggs on purpose had more to do with it being problematic for tournament play than even necessarily its degeneracy.
I mean, there was like, I don't know if you guys can watch the finals, but like the Ben Stark match against Hollow One, there was like a game where he was staring down like a lot of damage and he like got a Psymaster Thoughtdrist in play out of the sideboard and just like started making just like blocker after blocker after blocker. Mm-hmm. It was like pretty sweet to watch, actually.
Sure. Psymaster Thoughtdrist is insane. I mean, it's enabling stuff in standard and I'm sure it will continue to be good in modern.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, that deck's fun to watch. Like, I actually think the four decks, there was just four, right? There was two humans, a Hollow One, a KCI.
Yes, those were the top four.
There's only top four, because it was a team event.
All those decks are sweet. I watched all the matches, and I really enjoyed watching the matches. Like, the Hollow One deck's insane. The Dredge deck, I watched a bunch of matches of.
Vengevine.
Is insane.
It's not Dredge. It's Vengevine.
The Vengevine
deck. Well, there was a Dredge in the top 16. Like, a traditional Dredge with prized amalgams. And
not what he was talking about.
Yeah. The Vengevine deck was insane, with, like, all the blood gas and the Bushwhacker.
Well,
and,
so this is, I guess, the next conversation is what's Tier 1, and I think we have a pretty ironed out Tier 1. I think there's one oddball, and we'll see how it continues to do, but I think after humans, it's KCI, Tron, Hollow One, Blue White, and Vengevine. Based on representation at the Pro Tour.
You think that Jeskai is not in there?
I think Jeskai's Tier 1.5.
So
there's a few Jerry T like wrote an article right beforehand talking about how Jeskai is not well positioned within this metagame. But like I think Jeskai and Blue White kind of maybe switch between each other, but I think those are I have it at tier 1.5 along with Affinity, Band Spirits, and Mardu Pyromancer, who are always just gonna be decks that are around. But I do think
Vengevine,
like, KCI, Tron, Hollow One, and Blue White are just like, and humans are the five decks with Vengevine and Hollow One battling for the premier aggro deck of the format.
You think that, like, with this one tournament putting up good results for Vengevine, it's now a tier one deck? You don't think that it's just like a flash in the pan that people are going to be able to hate out?
It absolutely could be a flash in the pan, and I think it is more it's more explosive than Hollow One, but it has a harder time dealing with graveyard hate than Hollow One, and I think it, like, the choice between which of the two decks you play is going to be dependent on what the metagame looks like.
I would argue against Vengevine being even close to that tier yet. I think that's like a...
It was the fifth most represented deck in the entire Pro Tour.
Because of Stitcher Supplier? Like, so all of a sudden it's like a
yes, deck? Yeah, because of Stitcher Supplier.
It was the fifth most represented deck in the Pro Tour. And one of the better performing ones as well.
Huh.
I'm not, like, that's also, it did exist there. And people now have the chance to play mono Rest in Pieces.
As Alex will tell you, people used to play Hedron Crab, and that was good enough to enable Vengevine. And Citrus Supplier is just so much better than Hedron Crab. No offense to the Hedron Crab fans out there, Alex.
Don't insult Hedron Crab.
It's also a zombie, which lets you get back your Grave Crawlers, which is, like, a big part of, you know, the cast Citrus Supplier, mill a Vengevine, cast Grave Crawler out of the graveyard, get back all your Vengevines.
You don't have to sell me on how sweet this deck is. Turn
it's
one.
Sick, Ben. Buy it.
Turn one Greater Gargadon in this deck. I don't know if you saw they're playing Gargadon. Uh-huh.
Not all of them are.
Oh, really?
It's like there's like weird, because this list hasn't been ironed out yet. Like,
yeah.
It's brand new for the Pro Tour.
Gargadon, I saw it play Gargadon. I saw like Gargadon, sack Bloodbath, play land, get it back, sack it. I was like, oh my god, this is so good. Yeah. So much value.
They're all playing
when they're playing Bridge from Below.
Yeah.
They're playing Bridge from Below, so they all are interested in sacrificing their creatures and getting them back, like Bloodgas and Grave Crawlers and Vengevines, so that you can like amass a ton of zombies and then Bushwhacker them. Bridge from Below finally seeing play in Modern is really cool because it's always been a staple of Legacy and Vintage Dredge decks.
Right.
And it's been legal in Modern this entire time, and you just, you know, missing Cabal Therapy and Dread Return made it not really playable.
No Cabal Therapy, no Dread Return, and no, what's the 3-1 that comes back and you sacrifice it at the end of turn? Ikrid. Those three cards are like the things that make it in Dredge Legacy, and none of those three cards being available made it so it wasn't really playable.
Right. But it's cool that it's seeing its day in the sun in Modern because it's been such a huge player in those style of decks and other formats.
And like Dredge played it a little bit in the middle of like when Grave Troll was around.
Well, when Grave Troll's around is like a totally different story.
So I think we all can agree then that if Tier 0 is humans, Tier 1 is the five or so decks we just mentioned.
KCI, Tron, Hollow One, and Blue White are like locked in at Tier 1, and then Vengevine has a big question mark on it.
Do we really think that like Blue White and Jeskai are like drastically different decks?
Yeah,
they are.
Jeskai is far more of a counter burn deck. Like, it has the control elements of white in it, but, like, it really does function in a lot of ways like a counterburn deck. Like, it's playing, like, Snapcasters and Bolts and Helixes and Snapcasters.
Yeah, but there are, I guess there are blue-white decks that are playing red, and then there are Jeskai decks.
Yeah.
Because, like, one of the decks in the top 16, the Guillaume Wafotapa deck, which is playing for Think Twice because he loves that card, playing no Bolts. Yeah, he didn't have to think twice about it. Let me see if I can bring up his deck here. His deck was playing. So he is not playing. Shoot. He is not playing Bolts in the main, but he's playing 4 Electrolyze main and 2 Abrade and then 2 Engineered Explosives. So those are his red cards. Engineered Explosives being a red card.
Playing 4 Electrolyze main, huh?
Yeah. And no Bolts. So he's not a Jeskai deck because he's not playing
against humans. Like that makes sense is a total call that I understand. I also think that he is not a person to pay attention to.
That's fair. But I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying that people should go build this list because they will have varying results because they're not Guillaume Wafotapa.
Did you guys see that Nassif was playing 2 copies of Glimmer of Genius in his white blue deck?
I did see that.
So sweet.
So I mean, but I think there's control. And I think the difference between the two is how much you lean on Jace versus how much you lean on Teferi and Lightning Bolt. Like, I think those are the two.
The blue-white decks in the top 16, at least, are all leaning on Jace more than Teferi.
Correct.
One of the decks was playing 4 Terminus. I forget who was playing that one.
Well, that's,
but I
that's,
think that one was in the top 8.
That might have been Nassif.
I think that might have been Nassif,
That's the other big come out of this story. Like, the Vengevine deck is one, but the other
one was Jace. No, it was Luis Salvado was playing 2 Teferi, 3 Jace, and 4 Terminus. He was also playing 1 Oust and 1 Timely Reinforcements main, which I think are nods to humans, because those are cards that are going to really perform against humans, but they're not cards that are going to get named by Meddling Mage.
I saw a Timely, there's one game this week between the ones in his hand and the Snapcasters. He played Timely 3 turns in a row.
Yeah, I don't think Nassif was playing it main, though, which it's like a pretty standard. No, he was. They were both playing 1 main. Nassif was playing 2 Terminus, but they were both playing 3 Jace. Nassif was only playing 1 Teferi. Mm,
yeah.
So they're all like, at the Pro Tour at least, these blue-white decks are leaning much more heavily on Jace than Teferi, which is like contrary to what we've seen since Teferi came out.
So have you guys picked up your Leylands of the Void? Because it went up $34.
Yeah, I saw that.
just posted, Leyline of the Void from Ravnica went up $21. Dollars and Leyline of Void from M11 went up 34.
Holy moly.
There's a bunch of enchantment cards that went up. Sword of Feast of Famine also went up $3.3.
Well, yeah, I mean,
like,
so
those are like big jumps.
Out of the top 4 decks that we've established,
I'll
plus blue white.
Of the Void.
So out of the top 5, there's 4 decks, and 3 of them are graveyard decks that are looking to hate on other graveyard decks.
Right.
And Leyline is
the best card to do that.
It should be a good indicator of where my mind is. This is like the 4th time this week that I've looked up a Magic card on IMDb, or I've done the same thing where I've looked up a movie on Deck Builder.
What year did Guardians of the Galaxy 2 come out? Debt. Not a card? Oh, wait. So that's crazy. I'm excited. Thank you to who posted that. Robert Holt, thank you for posting the More Spikes post that gave us that information.
Ley lines are 30, what?
$60, $60 to $70, depending on which one you have.
I think I might have even bought the 3rd and 4th copies last season.
Nice.
I definitely have at least 2.
I have my playset because I've had it since I was playing Mono Black.
Pox
in Legacy, and that's just like the graveyard.
I play decks that dirtily enough that I can afford to spend mana on my grave hate, so I don't own them.
That's crazy. All right, I think that's pretty fair. I mean, the really interesting thing about Modern is that it continues to be a format where every single like 2 weeks you'll get like another couple decks that break through,
right.
And they just sort of cycle through. And like what I find so fascinating is, it really is like a living, breathing ecosystem of competition. Like, this metagame is not one where it's just the same until they ban something and then it changes drastically.
Right.
It's like, you look at these decks, it's like, you know, Grixis Shadow's like not really a tier 1 deck anymore.
Not in Modern.
One player, I think one player brought it to the Pro Tour. Yeah.
You know, like, Burn consistently always shows up a little bit. There's the modular affinity lists, you know, so now Affinity's got, like, a little bit of a facelift, which is cool. I've messed around with that deck a bit. I think it's really, really awesome.
There was, like, a non-modular affinity in the top 16 that I thought was pretty interesting. And I was just kind of looking at some of the top decks.
So Ross Miriam, and I might be saying his last name wrong, wrote an article this week talking about how Modern isn't as diverse as you think it is. And his kind of thesis statement was, like, these other decks that are below tier 1 are fine, but this tier 1 is now especially so ingrained, and it has been. Like, yes, Vengevine showed up, and we'll see what it does, but KCI, Tron, Hollow, and Blue, White, and Humans have been the format pillars since this year started, at least, if not longer, since Humans became a deck.
Wow.
And, like, they all kind of fulfill each of the main archetypes. You have, like, straight-up combo with KCI, you have a ramp deck with Tron, you have a control deck with Blue White, you have an aggro deck with Hollow One, and you have a tempo deck with Humans. And all 5 of them are kind of, like, the archetypes of Magic, and that's Modern's metagame right now.
Interesting.
I do disagree. He was saying that from the perspective of, if you look at the Pro Tour and what the Pro Tour was doing, that's what was going on.
Yeah.
And that's hard to really say because planning on that and going to a GP never works out. The amount of GPs you go to where you're right. Like, oh,
GP metagame and local store metagames are going to be so drastically right. different from what you see at the Pro Tour, and that's where the majority of Modern gets played.
Correct.
The Modern Pro Tour is one time a year. I guess if they do a team events, it's twice. But
right. And I think his point was like all the pros that generally complain about Modern as a format because it's not, you know, they right. they aren't yeah. able to prepare for it or you just get blown out. Like, there is definitively a tier 0, tier 1, tier 1.5 metagame that, like, are all able to be, that have as, probably as much diversity as
I mean, I think that what they're saying about Modern when they say that is that, like, if you prepare for these five decks, you're just going to end up playing against, like, you know, Blue Moon, followed by,
correct.
Like, Affinity,
correct.
Followed by, you know, Collected Company, you know, Malira Company, or
right.
Green White Value Company, or something. And then you're like, well, I did my homework, I did what I'm supposed to do, but there's just too many decks.
No, I mean, I did that the last Modern GP, not the last Modern GP I played in, but the last Modern GP that was in LA, well, I played a Tesserator deck, and I did it because at that time, it just, like, stomped on all of these decks that were weak to Bridge from Below.
Jund and...
Like, Jund and...
Staring
Bridge. a bridge, there's a bridge involved.
Yeah. If we had a list, if we had, like, a checklist behind us of the number of times you had screwed up the names of five specific cards... I feel like all of them would have like 100 check marks.
Yeah.
That's got it. I think that's the one you've done the most times.
I haven't said it wrong the most times, but I have said it wrong the most consistently.
I've never heard you say Ensnaring Bridge correctly.
I agree with you.
Ever one time.
100% that I say it incorrectly 100% of the time, but I don't think I've said it more than maybe other mistakes.
You get it wrong 20% of the time, 100% of the time.
Correct. It's like Black Panther?
Yeah, Sex Panther.
Sex Panther.
Yeah.
All right. So, beyond what we were talking about with Craig.
Why is Leyline of the Void spiking?
Because of the top five decks we just named, plus the new sixth deck of Vengevine, we kind of talked about this. They are all very weak to Graveyard Hate, but they all use the Graveyard, and Leyline of the Void is the best.
And it's free. Like KCI... And KCI and the Vengevine deck and Hollow One are all spending their mana very efficiently in the early turns, and they don't want to use like Graveyard Hate that blows up both graveyards, so they're looking for some efficient answer to beat the other graveyard decks that are in there.
And some of them do enough with their graveyard on turn one that being able to have something in play before that turn one starts is important.
It's been one of the five pillars of Graveyard Hate Modern for a long time. I mean, it's Rest in Peace, Leyline, Spellbomb, Relic.
Cage.
Ooze,
surgical.
Probably?
I'd say surgical's in there.
Surgical, ooze, cage.
Surgical, there's more than ooze, cage.
There's a nice library of graveyard hate one can play.
Totally.
I'm really excited to make a deck that has both Bridge from Below and Ensnaring Bridge in the same deck.
Okay.
But so I played Tesserator at the GP and like was prepared for the top tables, was ready to do it, and then I played 8 Whack. Collected Company Blood Artist deck, another like aggro deck, and then Merfolk. And I was just like, well, this tournament didn't go well for me. I'm going to go play Sadovetch for the rest of the time.
Let me talk about...
I should just play Drunk, which I had.
Changing gears for a second, tournaments that didn't go well for people. Not Michael. He actually got all the way to the beta draft.
So we're going to... Because we had one more section in part of the Pro Tour of talking about decks that were like cool decks that also showed up that weren't Vengevine.
I'll tease really quickly to the show. I played in 4 beta qualifiers, and I didn't play in the beta draft. We'll get to that story later.
All right.
Let's keep going.
So, there's a cool Bank Company list that showed up.
Yep.
That I wanted to kind of focus on. It played zero. What's the landfall?
Retreat to Coral Hum in the 75.
Yeah. So no, it wasn't the 75. It wasn't the sideboard, was it?
Didn't have one.
Nope. Zero Retreat to Coral Hum. It just had 4 Knight of the Reliquary and was getting there. It was
just
one other spicy
value.
Thing, right?
There's so they're playing 4 Spellqueller and 2 Meddling Mage, which I think is a really cool combo, because you can counter their spell with Spellqueller, and then you can name the spell with Meddling Mage, so if they kill your Spellqueller, they can't get their spell back.
Right.
Which I thought was cool. They were also playing a Vendilion Click, Tireless Tracker, 3 Voice of Resurgence, Eternal Witness. It's just like a green-white value deck, like the value Collected Company decks that we've been seeing with 4 Knight of the Reliquary, except that they're playing blue, not for Retreat to Coral Helm, but for the 4 Spellqueller, 1 Vendilion Click.
And 2 Meddling Mage.
And 2 Meddling Mage. And then there's also a couple of Jace in the sideboard and Unified Will. Just like, you know, a little bit more of a controlling package if you need to go slower post-board.
We got a question real quick. Disaster Jenny says, got a question for you guys. What do you think of an equivalent game to Game Nights just for Modern? It sounds super sweet.
Sounds great. We would need a Josh Lee Kwai.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody can make Game Nights except Josh Lee Kwai.
We need a savage production budget. And
We will attempt to create more video content, especially on this channel.
Including there's a YouTube channel.
Live gameplay, including Ben is going to start doing Modo streaming on the YouTube channel, and we'll also be adding a few other pieces of weekly content beyond just the podcast.
We have like a cool idea. We want to start doing, I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in the, you remember Alex, because you were my co-host on the show, but listeners and watchers of the show, in the early days, we would do deck techs at the end of the show. Like, it's been a long time, but we used to do a deck tech at the end of every episode on a particular deck in Modern. We went through 30 or 40 decks, and we stopped doing it. We are, because it's been so long, going to start bringing back the deck techs, but we're going to do them as separate videos. So we're going to do, like, little 5 to 10 minute just deck techs for you guys on the decks in Modern, which I think will be a fun thing for the listeners and watchers of the show to be able to do that. So, anyway, continuing on the topic that we were on, you were getting into the final tier, Alex.
Final tier is 1.5. We're not going to talk about 2 because 2 is every deck in Modern, because Modern is a format where, like, Elves is not in one of these tiers, but will spike a GP or
right.
Will
you,
randomly
you
like,
can
have
take,
a good day.
And that's the reason that I'm talking about this Vengevine deck is because, like, because Modern is so diverse and people are only expecting the top 5 decks or whatever, you could just sneak something through and win a GP easily. I mean, Elves has won a GP before, right? And like, that's never like, a tier 1 deck or tier 0.
And if Vengevine was a deck that had one player play it and it just did really, really, really well at the Pro Tour and like got 5th place or something, then I wouldn't be talking about it the way I am. But the fact that like, the number I have somewhere on my phone, but I would have to go find it, but the X amount of players above 5 that played this deck, it made it the 5th
most
profitable deck.
Yeah, but I think that there's always value at the Pro Tour in particular, and you'll see pros talk about this on Twitter and in articles and stuff. There's always value to bringing an unknown deck because people are expecting to see, you know, they're thinking of the established metagame of 5 decks, right?
Correct.
They're like, what's the control deck? What's the combo deck? What's the tempo deck? What's the aggro? What's the whatever? And so if your deck isn't in one of those 5 that people are planning for, then you get a lot of value from people not sideboarding against you.
Except that with this deck, it is so similar, and the things that hate on it are so similar than other decks that are in the top 8, that or the top 5 decks, that it would... It's not like I'm attacking from a new angle. Like, the difference between this deck and Hollow One is that I'm worse against Graveyard Hate, which is what KCI
is bad
against.
Well, but that's the thing. That's because people are not playing as much Graveyard Hate, because that's not how you beat Hollow One, necessarily.
And it's not how you beat, and it's not how to beat KCI, right?
It's not
the
you
best
beat.
Way to beat KCI.
Right, so those decks, if you want to beat those decks, you have other options that aren't Graveyard Hate. Now that Vengevine is in the format, you can play Graveyard Hate that you're also boarding against those decks, but it's not like, I need to beat Hollow One, what do I do? It's not Graveyard Hate, generally.
Right.
They'll just put a Hollow One into play on turn 2 and kill you with a 4-4, and you're like, rest in peace.
Right.
There were some pretty interesting non-intuitive plays watching those Hollow One matches. I haven't actually played with the deck. I've watched a lot of matches I played against the deck once. But... like, there was, like, a play, like, turn 1 where the guy from Hot Sauce, like, Faithless Looting and discarded a Hollow One. And he had, like, already, like, Street Wraith or something like that. And you realize that, like the answer was, like, no, it's actually a smart move because once you burn through most of your proactive discard spells, Hollow One becomes one of the worst cards in your deck to have in your hand.
Right, because the it just is, like, a...
5-mana 4-4.
Well, you can cycle it for 2.
Yeah.
But that's not where you want to be at. I mean, if you're cycling your Hollow One something, you're probably going to lose that game.
Right. All right, so next on our list, so Band Company Modular Affinity.
The deck's sweet. We've talked about that deck like a bunch. Not for a couple months. It was like a cool deck. This is like the Hardened Scales one.
Right? I think you've talked about it more on your Ten Minutes of Magic than we've actually talked about on the podcast.
Well, we talked about it 1 week, and what ended up happening was I designed my own version of it that had the Rite of Passage, like Triskelion combo in there.
Or Walking Ballista, right?
Well, so I played both copies. I played a single copy of Triskelion, and I played 4 Walking Ballistas. And then I swapped out the Voltaic Servant or whatever, the untap guy, and I replaced it with Winding Constrictor. So the deck ended up becoming a little bit more of like an all-in counters deck with a combo backup. I think this version that played in the Pro Tour is better. I had a single copy of the 5-mana Sidisi in there to search out Rite of Passage to try to combo off.
Right.
It was like super
fun. Just in case you wanted to make your deck a little bit more inconsistent or more inconsistent versus Stony Silence, you could...
Yeah,
unactivated abilities win.
I never actually played a game with it.
Yeah,
it's just built in my phone. But
Rite of Passage Walking Ballista is cool, though.
Yeah, it's another one of those decks where I imagine at some point I'll probably build it on Modo and like play some games and then lose horribly and be embarrassed and never post the videos. But, you know, Maybe it'll win. So let's continue.
Let's get
talking.
To the next. Listen, no, now we're at Gen Con. So before we get to the Gen Con, we have to do a few shout outs we have to do. The first one is we have a Patreon. It's how we do stuff like this deck pack opening. It's how we were able to accomplish all these things. It's going to help us create all this new video content that we're looking to start creating. And we really appreciate anyone who can go there and make it happen. It's why this show keeps going on. Number two is we all did Twitters already.
Yep.
You skipped that ahead. I was going to save that to now.
We have a Facebook group.
We do have a Facebook group. It is currently being live streamed from YouTube onto that Facebook group right now. Make sure to go check it out. Best Discussion on Modern on Facebook. There's also a Facebook page. Make sure to follow it there as well.
I want to look and see who's in it. Can I do it? Click this button here? Is that what I did? Cool. Awesome.
You can see we have 16 people
in the live chat.
And I don't think we can look at them. We can look at them on YouTube.
Well, you can see their comments. I've seen
the
pop up.
Yeah, the comments pop up. You don't get to see what their names are unless you look here, for instance. A big shout out to Lucas Dywald, who helped inform us that the sound on the iPad was a little low, so people are having trouble hearing us at the best level earlier in the episode. That's fixed.
Killer.
Thanks, Lucas.
Thanks, Lucas. So, Michael qualified for the beta draft. Let's get how we got there. So, we all showed up at Gen Con.
Well, let's explain what the beta draft is and how it works.
Oh, yes. It's a good point.
So, Gen Con is the birthplace of Magic. It is a convention in Indianapolis that was the first place that Magic was released. So, for the 20th anniversary, which we're going through all summer, Wizards is doing beta drafts at key events. So, there's one in Vegas. There's one at
25th anniversary.
Did I say 20th?
Yeah.
Yeah, 25th. Vegas, there's one at Gen Con, there was one at the Pro Tour,
yep.
And then there's going to be one in...
No, they already did them all. There was one in Barcelona, Spain, okay. There was one in Chiba in Japan, and there was one in Sao Paulo in Brazil. So the foreign ones were all unlimited.
Okay.
The only two beta ones were Vegas and Gen Con, and then what they did at the Pro Tour, they called the Silver Showcase. It was 8 players, invite only. They did 3 packs of beta, just like the beta drafts right. at Vegas and Gen Con, but then they also did a pack of Arabian Nights Antiquity and Legends, which were the first 3 expansion sets.
Got it. Okay. So that's what happened.
So they drafted 6 packs instead of 3.
So at Gen Con, one of the beta drafts, the reason they did it at Gen Con was because of the fact that it was the birthplace of Magic, and we were there showing off Battle Bosses. That's where we announced Captain Boat and Doxplosion, and the game's kickstarting in a week. Not a subtle plug. And during that time, there were qualifier drafts that you could... There's 3 a day. There was an M25 in the morning at 10 a.m. There was a M19...
Masters 25 is what you mean.
Yeah, Masters 25. There was a M19 draft, and then there was a Dominaria draft, and there were 3 a day, and so...
They did sealed, so it was like...
Except 2 M25s, because there are 8 events, because there are 8 seats on Sunday. So if you win one of these events, 200 people-ish per event, you get a seat to draft beta.
So it was... Keep the cards. It was sealed. They did 8 rounds for the first one, and then realized that was too long, and they cut it back to 6. So it was 6 rounds of sealed,
yep.
And then the top 8 would draft whatever right. your respective format was.
So Mike is in the first one, or was it the second one, because there's an M20?
It was on Thursday, so I did the second one, because okay. the first one was the 3 p.m. The 3 p.m. M19.
Oh.
I was working at the Kess booth, so we get the hall closes at 6, and then I rushed to my beta draft at 7.
Yeah.
I didn't know the structure of the tournament, so I didn't realize that I was going to be playing 6 rounds of Swiss followed by a top 8 draft if I was successful.
Right.
So I ended up, the entire tournament took me from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., and I needed to be at the Kess booth in the morning. So Alex was nice enough to let me, come in a little bit late so I could get some sleep.
I kind of gave you and Ben a little bit of free passes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
So while this is happening, so Ben does the 3 p.m. M19 draft.
Yep.
Before Michael starts his tournament even, Ben flew to Gen Con to, for the most part, like he was helping in the booth, but he was there more on the side of the Magic stuff to actually try and do one of these tournaments. So every day
it was the dream. I did end up doing 4 of the qualifiers.
Okay.
And I did the 3 p.m. one the day that you did the 7 p.m. one, but they changed the structure after that first one that I was in.
So he played the full 8 rounder and made top 8, right?
No, that was the next day.
Oh, my mistake. I knew.
This is the one where he got wrecked because they moved where they were putting the sign up.
Oh my gosh, that was so bad.
So I was XO going into round 4 in an 8 round term. I lose my 4th round. Still like pretty bummed. I didn't think I could make it. They changed the side they were posting the signs on. I missed the start time of my 5th round, got a match loss and dropped and was just like so crushed. And the next day came back to the hall and was like, I'll do it again. And they were like, did you hear? I was like, what? They're like, Michael won. I was like, Michael won. No, he didn't. And they were like, We're not kidding. As of course, Michael, like, he's at the hotel sleeping. He was out till 7 in the morning. He won the qualifier.
Yeah, I'm like texting everybody as they're waking up, like, I won!
I'm like, you're saying that the qualifier that we left Michael at last night, the one where I was so despondent and he was like, I'm just going to give it a shot. He won that qualifier. Like, he won it. He's in the beta draft. Yes, that's what happened. I was like, just like so angry, like so angry, but then like also like so happy.
Well, I watched your like face go through emotions because at first you were like bitter and then angry and then you like got too excited because it's really exciting.
Of course it's exciting.
Yeah. And it was also like if Michael could do it, I could do it.
Oh, I was so
I definitely saw that in you.
I was so re-energized. And so then my next one at 3 p.m., they changed the structure to 6 instead of 8 rounds. And I 5-0'd my 5 rounds with a bad deck.
And then drew in the top 8, right?
And yeah, then I drew in the top 8, and I won my first top 8 round, and then I lost in the top 4. So I got close, didn't get it. I got 2 errored bases.
Hey, 2 errored bases, Michael got a Beta Lightning Bolt and the Wrath of God, but... Yeah. So that's where we leave Ben.
Yeah.
Despondent and sad.
Yeah. I played in 2 more. I didn't get there. Right. Let's get back on.
So we do Gen Con. It's really exciting. A lot of people like the game. We get to the last day, and you wake up early to go to your draft. How's it go?
Yep. And so this day is actually 25 years to the day after they released Magic for sale at Gen Con. So it was like August 6th. 1993 or something, and I'm drafting on August 6th. That might be the wrong day. I had the days all mixed up after staying up all night.
Right.
But I believe it was August 6th. That was the day they started selling Magic. So it's like literally 25 years later,
right?
Which is so cool. And then, yeah, I go, and they have the 8 players meet up at the like event stage or whatever, like they have at Grand Prix and everything else. They tell us to wash our hands, which was a good idea. So we all go wash our hands, and they take us to a room in the hotel next door that's like private. They have like streaming equipment set up because they stream the whole thing. It's on the Gen Con Live, I believe is the name of the Twitch channel. It's all up there. And they have, you know, some WotC people doing, Aaron Forsyth and Mark Turian doing coverage, and they were just standing right behind us. It wasn't like they were in a coverage booth off to the side. They were just standing right there, you know.
Right.
I could have reached out and touched them. And then they have, like,
you
people...
just, like, petted Aaron Forsyth's face.
Well, because,
like,
it was, because it's a Rochester draft, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's a little different than a regular draft. So explain what a Rochester draft is.
Right, so they did a Rochester. So what would happen is the judge would open the pack and lay out the cards one by one, on the table, face up, and you would pick one when it was your turn. They'd go around in a circle. I was actually in seat 1, and then so I would, for the first pack, I drafted first, and then it would go around, you know, this way, and the last person would pick 2 cards, and then it would come back around, and I wouldn't get another card because there was only 15 in the pack.
Right.
And then the next person to my left would draft first from pack 2, and then it would go around to me. I would be the last person. I would pick 2. And then you do that. It takes forever, but it was super cool because you get to see all the beta cards that everybody's opening, which is what we're all there for, is like the cool cards people are opening. So I get to see, you know, it's not like somebody opens their pack secretly and just like, ooh, Mox Jett. They like, Mox Jett is out on the table.
Right.
Everybody gets to see it, and you're like, oh man, that's great. You know, like,
what
it was
the rare in the first pack?
It was Wrath of God.
Oh, you, is
that's what I got. It was this Wrath of God. I got it.
So everybody
was pretty hyped because, you know, Wrath of God isn't, it's not power, it's not a dual land, but it's like, you know, a pretty valuable card. So here's my Wrath of God that I picked first in the beta draft.
So
it was the first pack.
What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to point the camera down at the map that we have here so that you can lay cards out and talk about them instead of them looking at us because I think these are cool enough.
Okay, to modify the whole camera setup. Got it. So that was my first pick. And it's like a cool enough card that everybody was like excited to see it get opened. It's not power, it's not a dual land, but it shows like this beta draft is really happening. People are opening valuable cards.
Yeah, it's dope.
It's like reflective, so we're trying to get it in here.
Get the glare right.
So then, you know, after the Wrath of God, it was a little slow because I started being the last person to pick a card. But I managed to get, you know, a few other valuable cards. So I got to open 2, or I got to open 3 packs. I didn't open anything else that was fantastic, but I ended up either opening or getting passed to me. This is like all my big spoils. I got this mat too, which was nice, of the Gen Con people, so I can always remember my beta draft. These are all the big ones. Pirate Ship, also a rare. I did open Pirate Ship and took it because it's pretty good, and it's also a rare in beta. I got a ton of lands as well.
How many islands did you open?
Well, it, usually you would take the islands like mid-pack after people had taken the playable cards. The thing about drafting beta is like there's so few playable cards by modern draft standards because, yeah, I'm not taking those out of sleeves, so you're going to have to figure out the glare issue.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to hold them up.
So, you know, it's so few playable cards compared to modern draft standards. Like, we opened packs where there were 9 lands. We opened packs where there were no creatures. There was one pack where Aaron comments on the stream that there were 3 creatures in the pack. They had a total of 1 power. There was, like, a Banalish Hero or some 1-1, and then 2 walls in the pack. So it's just, like, the amount of creatures. So my final deck ended up having 5 creatures in it. The biggest one was Pirate Ship. There was a Hill Giant in there, and then everything else was 2/2 or smaller. And so, like, my deck was just didn't end up being very good, and I lost in the first round. But honestly, the whole experience was so fun. Like, drafting is obviously fun and exciting because people are opening these cards. But, like, the people who were drafting, like, nobody was super serious, and, like, there was a prize in the line. The winner ended up getting $2,500, a check for $2,500, and an Alpha Starter deck, which is worth an insane amount unopened.
How many rares come in a starter? 3?
Something like that. And it's like the only place that you can get like a near mint Lotus because it's like more well protected than a booster pack or something. I don't know. I heard something like that. But
do you think he opened it?
I don't know. Would I open the starter deck? Honestly, I would probably just sell it. But but so I So there was prizes on the line, but everybody who was there was just happy to be there. They were so excited just to be drafting beta. And so everybody was super friendly. We're all joking around during the draft. It was like such a cool experience. And then when we played the games, you know, I had 5 creatures in my deck and my opponent had the card Jade Statue, which is Modern legal. For those of you who are getting hyped up about Jade Statue, you can play it in Modern. It's a 4 mana artifact. You can pay 2 mana during combat to make it a 3/6. I had no answers in my deck to it. My removal was like Paralyze, which is an enchantment. I had, I had a couple of Drain Lifes, which are sorceries. I had...
Strikes me as Drain Life would be a really good card.
Yeah, I was playing a ton of Swamps because of it, even though I ended up being 4-colored jank. And then I had the Wrath. and so none of these cards kill it, all my removal suite, because it's too... It was only a creature on my opponent's turn when it was attacking and killing me. So I just got utterly crushed by Jade Statue.
You would have had to block with like a Hill Giant and then bolt it?
Yeah, that was like basically my only out. I had 1 Hill Giant in my deck. I could have blocked with Pirate Ship too, but... I was either 2-for-1-ing myself... It. Unsummon doesn't do the trick, unfortunately. But yeah, I mean, my deck matched up really poorly against Jade Statue, and I just lost immediately. But, like, even the experience of playing was so cool, because it's, like, on Magic's literal 25th birthday from the day it was released, and I'm playing Magic, like, basically the way Richard Garfield intended. Yeah. You know? Like, it's really cool that, like, that is the exact same way that people were playing Magic 25 years ago. They weren't Rochester drafting, but effectively they were just opening up a handful of packs and just, like, playing, you know, 4-color, whatever random stuff they open.
Yeah.
You know, their opponent plays Jade Statue, and they're like, what does that do? Oh, my gosh, I can't beat this. That card's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was just so cool to be there the way that people did it 25 years ago and just to be playing with these cards, good or bad.
Right. It's also crazy that the investment... at this point, 25 years later, like, even just the commons are worth so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we were playing with sleeves. Luckily, they gave us some sleeves to play with that are cool. We got these, like, 25th anniversary sleeves and the deck box, which you may have seen, and then the mat, so that, you know, we would look nice on coverage. They actually didn't stream the game, so you can't watch me get destroyed by Jade Monolith, or Jade Statue. Jade Monolith is a different early Magic card. It might be in beta. Yeah. But anyway, get destroyed by Jade Statue. You can't watch that, but you can watch the draft portion, which was honestly much more exciting to watch. But it was cool to just be playing with these cards and thinking, like, back 25 years ago how people were playing.
It was how the game was designed. Like, everything that's come after that has been built around making this experience better or flowing things differently, but, like...
And Richard the gameplay Garfield, is better, don't get me wrong.
Yeah. Richard Garfield built the game... to be off of this, but in more of a collectible way than it is.
Like, yeah, and he built it in a pre-internet age, right, where it's like you would play against somebody and you would see a card that you'd never seen before, like, every time you played. You would see, like, a card that you'd only heard of. There were like rumors of cards that didn't even exist, but like people would just start rumors.
Right.
I don't know if you guys watched the Enter the Battlefield episode with the original playtesters. Yeah. So like watching that, Richard Garfield intended the game to be played with like, you don't really know what even exists, and like you're just trying to make the best of the cards you've opened, and you're not looking on the internet for the best cards or the best deck lists. You don't even know what all the cards that exist are.
Right.
Like and that's basically how we were playing in beta. I mean, obviously we knew most of the cards, but everybody's reading each other's cards.
Right.
During the draft portion, we're like asking the judge for oracle text on camouflage because how does that card even work?
Right. Well, I mean, like one of my favorite things from that video was like Richard Garfield gave every player that he was playtesting with 60 cards, and it was a 40 card deck, and you didn't tell anyone who else what everyone had, and you only needed 40 of them, so you had 20 cards that you're going to trade. So you literally tested the game from the get go to be traded with people,
and
the little community, and that was like all around campus. People were just playing this trading card game that only they could play, and they explained what Magic
was. And every time you played a new person, you would see a new card because he only printed, I think he was saying like one of each rare and three of each uncommon original.
Yeah.
So people would just see Pirate Ship for the first time, and they're like, wow, that's incredible. Like, it's such a big creature. And it pings every turn? Wow.
Well, it's because he was also sticking to, like, in early days of Magic, a 1-1 or a 0-1 that's if you're a human being sized creature, you're a 1-1.
Sure.
And then that's why bears are 2-2s. Like, and wizards during Khan's block made bears 4-4s, probably because they're like, it doesn't make sense that they're 2-2s. So we have a bunch of humans that are 2-2 size.
Totally.
So, but the original.
Pretty good.
Pirate Ship is pretty good. I mean, I would play that if it was like an uncommon in Modern Magic. So for those that don't know or that are looking at Pirate Ship right now.
Pirate Ship, 4 and a blue, summon ship, tap to do one
damage. It's a human pirate. We looked at the Oracle. Okay. We looked at the Oracle. It's a human pirate.
So this is in Modern, too.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a time-shifted cheat.
Time-shifted.
There you go.
Yeah,
That's
so you
sweet.
Can play this in humans if you wanted to. tap to do one damage to any target. Cannot attack unless opponent has islands in play. Though controller may still tap. Pirate Ship is destroyed immediately if at any time controller has no islands in play.
Right, so that's how beta cards are worded. Not really consistent with Modern Magic, but yeah, I mean, you can tap to ping. I actually ended up trading sea serpent, which was great flavor, right?
Yeah.
My opponent attacks me with a sea serpent because we both have islands in play. I block with Pirate Ship, tap to ping it, and then they deal damage to each other, which was fantastic. That's actually not how the original rules worked, but we were playing with beta cards in Modern rules, so the flavor checks out.
Right.
So yeah. That's pretty amazing. Pretty incredible experience, man. I wish I had drafted 2 Drain Lives in the beta draft.
Yeah, and if you guys have time, look up the Oracle on Word of Command. It's a real interesting one also if you haven't seen that card before.
Yeah, yep. Very small text.
Okay,
yeah.
So I think that's it for the episode today. Thanks for coming on, Michael. Where can people find you?
You can find me on the Facebook group, the Masters of Modern Facebook group. I check it frequently. Also, now you can find me on Twitter because Alex convinced me to legitimize it by telling everybody to follow me. Dudard, D-U-D-A-R-D-D.
Right. There's some good
that's
memes there.
I also am on the Masters of Modern Discord, which is not incredibly active, but I'm there as an admin.
We're going to have you on the cast consistently. You are also one of the designers of Battle Bosses, which is kickstarting on Tuesday. Once again, plugging that. It's really important to us. We worked really hard on this game. The feedback that we got in Gen Con was that everyone really loved it. It's really about balance. There's 6 bosses. If you guys can help us, when we kickstart it, we can even grow it past that so that we can have up to 12 different bosses. They all come from different worlds, and we'll be previewing it through the next week.
You can go to battlebosses.com for more information.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Ben does a show called 10 Minutes of Magic. It is sponsored by Wizardry Foundry, the people behind the Grimoire that we did our little pack war out of.
You can find that on their Facebook, Wizardry Foundry. They post new little like blurbs about, like, I did like deck techs on a lot of the top decks from the Pro Tour. I talk about the cards most likely to be banned. All kinds of different stuff. You guys can find that content there. So, all right. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching, and we'll be back same time, same place next week. We apologize for missing last week, of course, but we'll be back next week.
Thanks for the live stream. We are doing better than we
Thank
do.
You for your Sorry, attention. Guys. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.